Vous écoutez Technologique, une balado-diffusion dans laquelle nous passons en revue des épisodes de Star Trek et dans laquelle nous affrontons dans des quiz sur l'univers Star Trek. Tout ça à bord du vaisseau spatio-temporel Relativity de l'Union fédérale des planètes. Bonne écoute.
Hey everyone, you are listening to Technologic, where we review Star Trek episodes and enjoy Trek trivia aboard the Federation timeship USS Relativity. This is Technologic number 194 for Stardate 2016.289. Today, we'll be reviewing the Next Generation episode, Up the Long Ladder.
Shall I live down the humiliation? If this was a ship full of utopians, I'd carry all this technological baggage.
My God, Picard, the place of the bloody death trap. Lightning bolts falling from the ceiling.
You can obtain spiritus liquors from the food dispensers with all the deleterious effects intact.
Good for the bloody ship.
Madam, have you ever considered a career in security?
But it's anything like babysitting, I'm an authority.
First officer, I feel it's my responsibility to show you all the amenities.
Hey, this mission just gave me the best idea. I have Carrie making me a clone right now. Then the clone could go to the court-martial instead of me. We could say that the clone did it, right, Ben?
Technically, I suppose you could, but you'd need to make sure that the ship records and the crew memory match, which puts us right back where we started from.
Well, so that's something you and Carrie can do, right, Mike? Carrie can alter the memory of the crew, and you can fix the ship's records.
No. I mean, I could, but I'm not going to throw myself under the bus to keep you from facing a court-martial. You know, they could have me deactivated and wiped for altering temporal records. You're going to need to find some other loophole to get yourself out of this.
Well, they'll only wipe one of you.
There's only one I care about.
Jeez, Mike. No, you have like bunches of you.
Aren't you a symbiote?
There's only... No, I'm not a symbiote.
Not you, Chris.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Trill.
Yeah, he's a Trill.
Well, then why don't you move into the clone and let them kill Chris?
Oh.
Well, but then he would still lose his commission.
No, just the other one.
The clone is not going to be a commissioned captain.
Rikers had a commission.
Yeah, the commission that he earned up to the point where he split.
Nah, maybe it's time for another body anyway. I'm getting tired of this one. Well, then I'll be another person, and then I have to contemplate death and all that stuff.
Right.
Not now.
That's a different episode.
Yes.
We already reviewed that episode.
On to the review.
All right. This is the one where Carrie's not here. This episode was written by Melinda M. Snodgrass and directed by Winrich Kolbe. You know, someday somebody's going to tell me if I'm pronouncing that guy's name completely wrong. It's probably like Winrich. Originally aired on May 27th.
No, man. Listen to it. Winrich. Oh, yeah. Somebody was thinking they hit pay dirt with this baby.
Right. It originally aired on May 22nd, 1989, and Geos ranks this episode, well, at least it did until it disappeared, 167th of 182 episodes and movies.
Ooh.
Trivia? Barry Ingham, who played Daniel O'Dell, was actually originally considered for the role of Captain Picard. That would have been...
Whoa! Oh, that would have been a great Irish accent for a French...
for a French captain!
Makes as much sense as the British one.
Yep.
I don't know. Somehow it's just worse. I don't know why. Especially if he's talking like this, like he's from Lucky Charms.
Right.
It's like...
Just after water. Arriving...
It's the Romulans.
After
Jalad at Tanagra
at the pub. Dharma
at the pub. Well, if we go stereotypical, as this episode has fully done. Yeah.
Yes.
I think you're safe to move on to the second.
Sorry, it's just oh, man, this could add so many possibilities and so many cancellations.
Just after arriving on Mariposa, Dr. Pulaski notices a sculpture holding a large sphere that looks like the receptacles from TOS Return to Tomorrow, which is the episode where the three aliens were in those spheres and they possessed different people on the crew. And
that's the one with the blooper of Kirk going up to it, touching it, and he says, "Never fear, Sargon is here."
But the significance of that is that she played one of the characters in that episode of the original series.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
she was in two episodes.
Yep. In that episode, she was the female that was getting possessed.
Oh, she was possessed in both episodes. The other one was the Lights of Xatar.
Mm, yep.
Wow.
Apparently, she's very possessible. Yeah. When William T. Riker confers with Picard in the ready room, one of the mission categories of 22nd century ships lists diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
Nice. Ah! Like those. Harder to get away with in the
HD.
Yeah, and HD. Now that you know they're, I don't know if they're filming the new Star Trek, but I hope they're doing it in 4K.
That would be cool.
So originally, the point of this episode was supposed to be a commentary about immigration, because Melinda Snodgrass said that she hates, at the time, she hated the current American policy. I don't know what she thinks now. She wanted it to be something that talks about how people view these outsiders and they think they're smelly, they're wrong colored, there's nothing that, you know, how horrible it would be. But then you find out that they're going to bring like new life and energy into the society. And that's what she was going for. And when she tried to explain to her boss, who is himself a major Irishman, about Maury Hurley, who at the time, I don't know if he does now, but at the time he ran the St. Patrick's Day Parade. When she was trying to describe to him what she was looking for as a concept for the Bring Loyalty, she threw out Irish Tinkers, and he locked onto that, and that's how we ended up with the stereotype that we got.
Wow.
And Bring Loyalty is actually very close to the Irish word for dream.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that is cool.
And I have it written down, but I'm not even going to try and pronounce it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
These vowels are not in the proper order.
The Enterprise receives an SOS, but it's an SOS from members of the European hegemony. Interesting pronunciation there. And they're from 200 years ago. Well, you know, who could be out here? As they plot a course, Worf faints. Oh, wait. Did I say faint? I may be mistaken.
Dr. Pulaski, how is Lieutenant Worf?
Worf was just observing a Klingon ritual involving fasting. And he didn't take into account that you have to decrease your physical activity as you decrease your caloric intake. Pulaski out.
Thank you. I'm in your debt. Doctor, I wish to thank you for protecting my...
Your secret is safe with me. Worf, I'm honored. No one has ever performed the Klingon tea ceremony for me. There, that should do it.
You know the ceremony.
I understand the externals, not the mysteries. I'm not a Klingon.
You must not drink the tea. It is deadly to humans.
And none too good for Klingons.
It is a test of bravery, of one's ability to look at the face of mortality. It is also a reminder that death is an experience best shared, like the tea.
Worf, you're a romantic.
It is among the Klingons that love poetry achieves its fullest flower.
Hold that thought. Antidote. If we're going to share, let's share. Now, quote me a little of that poetry.
Okay, so I should probably begin this with just putting it out there. I hate Pulaski.
As you should.
But
what?
I find it interesting that she knows so much about Klingon culture that she could properly do this particular ritual, and she knew enough to understand that his description of it meant he was romantic.
Right.
Look, I actually love this scene.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I mean, I thought throughout the episode, this was a good Pulaski episode. Let's discount the Data stuff.
Oh, yeah,
Data's hardly in this.
There's got to be one.
Yeah. I mean, she was on there for a whole season, odds are.
No, but let's look at it this way, and this is a good episode to test this on, is without dealing with the Data plot that somebody thought up and would be a great idea, I think she's a good character.
Which is basically shows that it comes down to what we've said before. It's not the actor, it's the writing for her character that makes her such a terrible person.
Right. Yes. I think the fact that she's kind of curmudgeon-y, I think that's maybe something that attracted her to Klingon culture.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
Just like, you know, oh, I see this aggressive type stuff. This makes sense to me. You know, but there's this aggression, but then there's also this love poetry, right? I mean, so there's that's something tied together there, no pun intended. And
he's involved in this. That's the second part of the ceremony.
Right. And actually, the thing that Worf says is really cool. The fact that the tea, like death, is best shared.
Right. Yep.
Which is definitely true. Nobody wants to die alone.
So this actually happened before this clip. And the reason she was lying to Captain Picard is because Worf got Klingon measles. And the thing that annoyed me about her being the doctor, when Worf says, "How do you think Riker would feel if he got the measles?" She should have said, "Well, he would feel feverish, probably tired, and in pain, and mostly miserable, I think."
Oh,
instead of saying, "Well, he would be embarrassed," because it's not embarrassing.
Worf empathy. She has empathy. That was her Worf empathy, because that's what he wanted to hear.
True.
He wanted to hear that it was embarrassing?
To Riker? If Riker had it, yes.
He wanted to hear that he was not being irrational.
Right.
That he was.
Well, he's not being irrational. I mean, it makes sense for a Klingon. He was felled by this childhood. And that's the other thing. It's a childhood illness that he has, which he obviously didn't catch when he was on a human world.
Well, but here's the worst thing about it. This is clearly, you know, why on earth wouldn't they have a vaccination?
Right. Yes. And who gave it to him?
Right. Where did he? That was only my only thought was where did he catch it from? But it also, I don't have an issue with him not getting vaccinated because he didn't grow up on.
That's true. He grew up
on a planet. He grew up on Earth. Earth does not get vaccinated for Klingon measles.
No, but he could have got it when he joined Starfleet.
Yeah, he would have.
Just like when you leave the country, you have to get vaccinations for things that you might get when you go there.
Right, but you're going to get different vaccinations in the U.S. than you are going to someplace else in the world. You'd get different vaccinations being in Starfleet than you would being in the Klingon Navy.
Right.
I don't know. If you're ever going to see another Klingon, I think you would get that vaccination.
Yes.
Like, if I were not, even if I'm the only human on the Klingon homeworld, if I'm ever going to see another human, I probably need a vaccination for chickenpox.
What season is this?
Two.
Two.
He hasn't really gotten into his Klingon plots yet, so.
Right.
No,
he catches up on all of those when he actually has to go back to the homeworld.
I think this may be one of his early Klingon-esque episodes where he's not just going, grr, arg.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did, though, really like the tea ceremony. Because at first, it's a tea setting. I'm like, really? Klingon tea ceremony? That's stupid. But then he's like, oh, it's poison. I'm like, now that's Klingon tea.
Right. Right, and you're probably not supposed to break the china, right? That's
right.
Part of the challenge as you struggle in agony, which they didn't show. Because, this isn't good for you either.
It would have been better if after you drink the tea, you eat the cup, like in the Willy Wonka. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Or Willy Wonka, I mean.
Aside from, and that's kind of the end of that plot. I actually took that from two places in the show and kind of glommed them together so we could get right past that. And now on to the main show. To me, I think this may have been the best part of the show. the tea ceremony. Yeah. All right. Aside from Worf and Pulaski, we've been treated to the crew running through databases to find out who sent the message. It's gripping television as they find an odd ship's manifest of highly technical equipment and farm animals. I just didn't think this was good television when they're like running through spreadsheets and stuff like that. like the whole, think of that, that whole first part before the title sequence.
Right.
All they do was discussing this SOS signal.
Right. I didn't mind that, actually, that it was like a 200-year-old signal and they had no record of it because that was a tumultuous time in history and they weren't really tracked well.
I just don't know if it really drew you in, though.
It could have been accomplished with them just pulling up a sheet that has the data, and then they could have said, well, it looks like they're these utopians. Why do they have this? I don't know. It was a bad time. We don't have a lot of records.
Maybe it was just interesting to me because you guys have me doing that every second of every day.
Oh, so finally something you could connect to in Star Trek. Yeah,
that's right. Something I can relate to. Every time they tell the computer to do something, I'm like, oh, I hate when they do that.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was weird because it seems like you could have put more story in somewhere.
Well, that was
because they spent 3 or 4 minutes discussing. Well, what do you think this is? Well, I don't know. Hey, Data, let's look it up this way and let's look it up that way. And right. It's like, man, Google could have found it so much faster.
All right, that's what I want to see on the ship. Okay, Google.
Well, that's what we have. We have OK Mike.
That's right. And yes, I would have found it faster.
He pops up like the computer does in The Good Place.
Oh, no, you guys haven't seen that yet? That. No.
Oh, man. It's bizarre and awesome. they find the... It. Oh, man. It's the afterlife, and it's weird.
Okay.
But there's this one girl who's like the computer, because the afterlife is divided into like neighborhoods that these meta beings, he doesn't say angel or anything like that, creates, and it's his first neighborhood. And so there's some flaws, and then they accidentally get some bad people, and that's causing glitches.
Oh, jeez.
But this computer woman it's just a woman, but she pops in when you call her name, and she'll Google you anything, and it's like, what do you want to watch? What type of porn? What?
Oh, gee.
So the stuff that we do with Mike.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, man, I can't even imagine to Karen Golems.
No, you cannot.
All right.
Are incapable.
They find the planet, which is about to be engulfed in giant flares from its star, which I think is a cool way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, that was astronomical. That's something that could happen.
Right.
And guess where they were sheltering? Yes, it's in a cave, 30 meters below the surface.
That's right.
Fortunately, from that cave, they can beam out, and we don't even get to see it.
Right.
But it's still there, so it counts.
That's right. It's a virtual cave.
Yep. Let's see. Oh, but against Riker's suggestion, Picard orders O'Brien to beam them aboard right now.
Captain, you better get somebody down here. Right away.
O'Brien, I think the third wave should be in position.
Shoot! Hi, sir.
Oh, O'Brien, is it? I should have known to be a good Irishman who was running this ship.
What the devil is going on here, number one?
Captain Picard, is it?
Oh,
the man who makes decisions for me and mine without so much as a by your leave.
Yeah. This is my security chief, Lieutenant Worf.
I don't suppose security is much of a problem for you. Delilah Odell, sir, at your service.
What are these animals doing here, number one?
I'm sorry, sir. It was either this or arguing until hell froze over.
Captain Picard, sir, we can't leave our animals here to die. Besides, how could we build our future without our animals?
All right. Chief O'Brien, transport this group directly to Cargo Hold 7. Convene the remaining refugees from the planet directly to that hold.
Yes, sir.
Right, Max, everybody back onto the Inferno machine.
All right. Everybody up here.
Picard can't really blame him because he cut Riker off mid-sentence when he was trying to tell him they wouldn't leave without their animals.
Right.
So he really just has to accept it.
So I have a question, though. Why did it beam up the hay?
I don't know. It shouldn't have.
That was awful.
Yeah.
And wouldn't O'Brien just have beamed up the humans?
Well, no. I think he was probably in communication with Riker, and Riker would have told him to bring the animals.
Okay. And you know what? I got to think that Cole Meany's got to be like, had a headache this entire episode.
Oh, yes!
Like, saw the script, and he's like, oh, God, this better be a good paycheck. I think it paid off for him, though. In the end, Star Trek pretty much paid off for him.
That's true.
Yeah. But it's funny. I thought when they first beamed him aboard, I thought maybe somebody's actually playing the Irish music.
Oh, yeah. That would have been cool, actually.
No, it wouldn't have.
To have somebody just playing a fiddle on the transport pad.
All right. Well, I guess we can. There's plenty of time to talk about stereotypes, so we can move on.
Yeah.
Because we're not done yet.
No, not even close.
Danilo Odell immediately tries to set up his daughter with Picard. I mean, like, immediately.
Yes.
Like, right after they beam, he, like, steps out. Hey. Man. Well, Picard's having none of it and appears to intensely dislike all 223 of the Bringloidy people. Since the Bringloidy have no clue about technology, things get worse when they try to start a fire and panic when the fire suppression system engages, which it like shoots a little force field around the fire, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
No chemicals. Nothing. I almost wanted to get the clip where he's talking about that he would suffocate.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's what I liked. What would happen if I was inside that? You would be
You'd be in the fire.
That was a good quote.
Yes.
I got to say, Worf is 100% this episode.
Yeah. Yes, he is. He's on.
Totally good. All right. Brenna, Odell's daughter, starts laying into Picard. Then has a go at Riker, who is awkwardly staring at her.
And what are you staring at? You never seen a woman before.
I thought I had.
Jeez. He's lucky that Troy wasn't around. He'd have been smacked.
Yeah, man. After the Odells scurry away, Picard is looking at the chaos, and he finally just cracks up.
The last thing I expected. Sometimes you just have to bow to the absurd.
You know, I liked it too.
Was
actually having a breakdown.
Right. Maybe. Either way, it works.
Yes.
But I think that's a good character moment for Picard.
Yes, yeah. It was.
But it would have been nice if he had, like, it's just so stereotypical.
Well, yes.
It's bizarre. How can you be this way?
Right? Well, except I don't think he was laughing at their personalities. I think he was laughing at the absurdity of them bringing wood and starting a fire
yeah.
on the starship.
and ranting.
Yes.
And the ground, again, once again, the ground is covered in hay. Where the heck did the hay come from?
They kept beaming it up with every group.
Yeah, we could replicate hay.
Yeah. Yes, we can.
Well, Riker volunteers to show them the ropes of using the replicators, as well as giving a personal tour, wink, wink, to Brenna. Wowza. Did you see the look on his face? Transparent munch?
Yeah, this was... You could have totally just put Kirk in this episode instead of Riker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I'm like, are people really like this in the future?
I'm sure some people are.
I mean, just... Oh, I just met you and... Okay, she's not an alien.
Right.
But, well, whatever. I mean, if they're consenting adults, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure even in the future, one night stands will still be a thing.
Maybe. All right. After Picard leaves, Odell catches up with him and asks an important question.
In all your travels, have you heard anything from the other colony?
The other colony.
Ah, because they never asked what happened to the technology.
Right.
Even though he specifically brought it up, he never asked about it.
Yeah.
Yep, that was weird. But, I mean, it's like, oh, we totally forgot about it or something. No, you made a big deal out of it in the beginning.
Maybe, right. Maybe we should have checked to see if there were caves on the other side of the planet. Oops!
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the other colony on the other side of the planet?
Yeah!
Now that would have been funny if
yes.
They didn't know each other were there.
All right.
And the funny thing is, maybe it was the clones who sent the SOS.
Yeah, it could be.
They didn't even verify that it was the Bringloidy that sent the SOS.
Actually, it had to be.
Right. They just went up to the first class implant and scanned for people.
Yes, that's exactly what they said.
That, now that you bring that up, though, that's actually weird. Let's think about the distress signal, because the other colony's planet is not in trouble from the solar flare.
Right.
It's only the Bringloidy planet that is.
But they don't even have radio.
Yeah. Did a goat send the signal or something? I don't know. That doesn't make sense now that you bring it up.
It's a hyperspatial goat.
It's those weird eyes they have.
The technological planet would not have sent it. Wow. That just totally wrecks that whole beginning now. Because there's no way it would have... I mean, unless it was in orbit or something.
Or unless they left them an automated...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If the high-tech people left something in orbit that would just turn on if the planet was in danger.
They could just... Again, a line could have fixed it.
Yes.
A line in the script could have fixed it.
Yep. So we have to fix it in post.
Yep. Us poor Star Trek fans have to always work harder on our love.
That's right.
Of Star Trek. All right. Well, next we get to catch up with Riker. And interestingly, while he brings Brenna to his room, she wants to get to the conclusion of their encounter even more quickly.
You've shown me so many wonders on your great ship, but there's still one thing you haven't shown me.
What's that?
I'm still waiting to wash my feet.
Right behind that door.
William, is something wrong?
What do you mean?
Do you not like girls?
Of course I do. Oh, is there a special technique to this foot washing?
You generally start at the top and work your way down.
I think I can handle that.
I was hoping you might.
Wow. I mean, it's not like this is a record for Riker getting the woman, because, you know, in the game, it's in the first, like, 8 seconds of the episode.
Except he was already with her.
Right. That's what I mean. But, yeah, this was, like... 15 minutes, maybe? I don't know how long is the tour of the episode.
I know. Because what could she have appreciated? Like,
right.
here's a look outside the window.
Yeah.
The rest of it is all beyond your understanding.
If you look out the left side of the ship, you can see your world being destroyed by a solar flare. How romantic.
Yeah, you'd think they'd all be a little bit more stressed, even though they just got rescued.
Yes.
They were hiding for their lives.
Yeah.
I don't think they understood that.
Do you think they were just living in the caves because that's where they lived?
No, I think that there was probably storms, and they went into the cave.
Oh, so they were just... Right.
They didn't know their planet was about to burn up.
Yeah.
Until Riker told them.
Yes. Right. That's right. Possible.
And I think that's why they were arguing, because they didn't really appreciate that they were going to die.
Right.
Right. Jeez. Wow. And then, and that's why she really likes him, because now she thinks, this is my knight in shining armor who just saved us all.
Yeah, kind of.
All right, I kind of get that, but I think
she's just a take what you want kind of woman.
Well, I think it's hilarious that she's more aggressive than him.
Yes. That I actually kind of like. It's nice to see instead of the guy always being the one that starts everything.
Although, I've got to admit, I know it's a family show, but I was afraid when, like, there's one thing that I haven't seen. I'm like, whoa! And I didn't know that it was... Well, never mind. There's some places I shouldn't go on this episode. On Trek Logic. But yeah, that was it was quite the scene. I'm not sure I would call this character development for Riker, though.
No.
So I don't know if it really added anything to it.
I would really call it pretty much character status quo for Riker.
It's just to establish his reputation as Kirk, right?
Yes.
That's all this is, I think, as far
because
as...
it is still season two, so it's early.
Yeah. It's like, I'm still a teenager.
Yes.
Now we have to get to perhaps one of the worst scenes in Star Trek, complete with comic acting and crossed eyes.
As it should be. You see, lad, every moment of pleasure in life has to be purchased by an equal moment of pain.
Whiskey. Terrible. It has no bite.
Jaha, salute.
Oh, that's what I call a wee drop of the creature.
Father!
Remember what I said about the moment of pain? Well, it is about to begin.
Hello, my darling! Oh, what darling is it?
Again, it's just like these horribly stereotypical...
Yeah, I mean, there's no dimension to it. And of course,
right?
Really, alcohol is the stereotype that you want to bring out on somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And then she complains about it, too. Oh, well, throughout the entire episode, they're just going to get soused. Men, they're just going to get soused and they're not going to do anything. And women have to do all the work.
Right.
Well, except it wasn't that. She was mad that they were going to get drunk, but there were women waiting in line.
Yeah, there were. I was going to say the one thing I did like about this was her yelling at Worf for showing them how to get real alcohol out of the thing.
And Worf, again, was perfect.
Yes, he was. He's like, that's not my problem. They asked me how to get something. I showed them.
Wasn't this also where he says, have you ever considered a job in security?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying there's not funny stuff that happened.
Right.
But, I don't think we have any Irish listeners, but it'd sure be funny to find out how well this played in Ireland.
Actually, it was. I didn't include it, but there was a huge amount of complaints about this episode.
Oh, well, there we go.
Although it is funny, what's the American stereotype? I don't mind, loud, brash Americans making fools of themselves in other people's films.
Right.
Maybe that's just because I know too many of them.
Yeah, that's true. But that's also not quite as insulting as the stereotypes of some other people are.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, now that we've recovered from that, if we can, we get an abrupt change of tone in this episode as we investigate the other colony. Troy, so they get in contact with him, and Troy states that Prime Minister Granger is hiding something during their first communication. The music is creepy and foreboding. When they beam down, they find out that those people are clones. Oh no, clones! Ah! Like they're horribly offended at this or something.
Right.
I guess we could talk about it after this. The captain feels it's safe enough to beam up Prime Minister Granger and have a talk.
Captain, we need your help. 300 years ago, during our landing on Mariposa, the skin of our ship was breached. Only 5 of the colonists survived. The progenitors weren't willing to just give up and die, and they were scientists.
So they used that expertise and turned to cloning.
Yes, we had no other option. 2 women and 3 men represented an insufficient gene pool from which to build a society.
Well, how did you suppress the natural sexual drive? Drugs? Punitive laws?
In the beginning, a little bit of each. Now, after 300 years, the entire concept of sexual reproduction is a little repugnant to us.
Well, how did you overcome the problem of replicative fading?
We haven't.
You have got a problem.
Wait, I don't understand replicative fading.
Each time you clone, you're making a copy of a copy. Subtle errors creep into the chromosomes, and eventually you end up with a non-viable clone.
How can we help you?
We need an infusion of fresh DNA. I was hoping that you would be willing to share some tissue samples.
You want to clone us?
Yes.
No way, not me.
But how could you possibly be harmed?
It's not a question of harm. 1 William Riker is unique, but 100 of him, 1,000 of him, diminishes me in ways I can't even imagine.
I think you will find that attitude prevalent among all the Enterprise people.
Okay, I understand Riker and his reasoning for not wanting that to happen, but I also think it was wrong of them to not even ask. Because I'm sure there are probably plenty of people on the Enterprise who would have been like, they want to clone me? Sweet! Yeah, I'll donate.
There's over 1,000 crew on the ship. They only need a couple hundred to say yes to be completely fine.
Right. Well, they still, if they were going to continue just doing cloning, that wouldn't fix their problem in the long run, like she says. But it would help them with the eventual solution that comes along by increasing their side of the equation.
Right. You know, and I also find it interesting because in here, they're like, oh my God, nobody would ever agree with that. But when Voyager lands on the demon planet and they're like, we want intelligence, like 3/4 of the crew comes down to get a demon clone. The silver liquid that turned into them.
Yeah. And plus, I would volunteer.
You know, the Enterprise has all kinds of different races on it. I'm sure not all of them are going to view cloning the same way that the humans are.
Right. Vulcans would probably be fine with it.
And the funny thing is, well, first off, so there's 5 scientists. They could have still, at that point, had children.
Yes. Yes, and they could have.
You know, had a few more different variations of genetic material.
Yep. Right. Yeah, technically, each of the 3 guys could have had a kid with the 2, at least 1 kid with each of the 2 women.
Right. Right. But the fact is that that wouldn't have helped. It just would have put a generation down.
Yes.
Because they're just cloning the same people over and over again and multiple times, because they said later on in that episode, there's 2 cities of these people.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even hear that.
Yep. There's 2 cities of them.
Wow.
Because it might even be in a clip, but they said, yeah, and it is in a clip. So we'll wait for that. Okay. So there's lots of them. Lots and lots. Way more than the 220.
I mean, I understand why they do this, because it's basically just Deus Ex Machina, but yes. They could have gone through the crew, and what they could have done is if they've gotten a couple hundred people to agree, then they take samples from them, and then they could have taught them how to make, you know, because they don't sexually reproduce anymore because they find it repugnant, but that doesn't mean they can't use artificial reproduction.
Right.
They could have given them like some sort of tanks to use or showed them how to make them, because they're obviously advanced.
And they had the equivalent of an artificial womb down on the planet.
So they could have continued their lifestyle and with just an alteration and an influx of new DNA.
Yes. Yep. But they needed to say no so that they could get kidnapped for this next clip.
And the other thing is, you know, now, so we have a breakthrough technology on, you know, currently in the 21st century. CRISPR, have you guys heard of that?
Mm-mm. That thing in the refrigerator where you keep your lettuce?
Better than that. It's a CRISPR, and it's extremely accurate in being able to modify the genome. They've already had huge international meetings on this about the ethics of it, because now we could seriously do some heavy-duty genetics thing, and we can modify the germline. We could do lots of things.
Wow.
And the thing is, it's cheap. And it's easy technology. So it's not something that can be – it's not like nuclear technology or bioweapons technology that's so very difficult that only states can have it, essentially.
Right.
People could do this with less than $50,000 worth of stuff. So, but I mean, the fact is, now we're going to be able to, all right, well, if you go ahead and breed, we can go ahead and take out the bad genes, because that's one of the first uses they're going to put it to, is to take out bad genes from, like, if you have a genetic predisposition to, or a genetic disease, for instance.
Right.
And they'll be able to take out those genes. It's funny that now we would never have that problem, like 200 years of CRISPR technology and whatever evolves out of that.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
In fact, by then, we'll probably be customizing humans to the environment that they're in, which I think is going to be awesome.
Hey, maybe that's exactly why the only difference in all the people are their noses.
Yeah.
They were all created with CRISPR technology.
All right. The clones feel that this will be their only opportunity at saving their colony. So they lure Pulaski and Riker into Granger's office, where they stun them. So the clones are evil. Then we get to see them insert needles into their torsos. Gross. But more than that, they did it through the clothes.
Yes.
So now they have like a bit of cloth in there as well.
That's how in the movies, you know, when they make a clone, they already have clothes on.
Right. Then something weird messes this all up. And I couldn't help but think about how this scene is just totally screwed up. Let's see if you can catch it in this clip.
Excuse me, sir. I was looking for Commander Riker.
I'm afraid I haven't seen him.
Dr. Pulaski?
Sorry, I can't help you.
Well, I guess I just have to hunt for them. Sorry to disturb you. Hey, so what happened to you two down on Mariposa? Is everything all right?
Is there any reason it shouldn't be?
Yeah. Every time I asked where you were, some clone lied to me.
Lied to you?
Commander, with this, I can see better than your average person. Now, when someone lies, there are certain physiological manifestations. Variations in blush response, pupil dilation, pulse, breath rate. Don't always work with aliens, but humans, I got them nailed.
Okay, there's two issues with this, and I'm going to bring up the one that deals with the story first. And that's, so he just let them lie to him about where they are and not even try and communicate to them.
Oh, right. Or call the ship or anything.
They're like, hey, can you tell me where they are?
It's like, Geordi, what? You're the worst officer ever.
Yeah, that's totally true.
You could have beamed them up from anywhere because they don't have beaming technology here.
Right.
So, God, that was so irritating.
That is really bad. I did not even think about that.
I did think about that. I'm like, you're not going to tell anybody they're missing. You knew all along something was wrong, and you didn't say anything. Not even when you got on the ship.
Yeah. You wait until you see them next. Hey, what happened to you?
I mean, what is like, then if they didn't come back the next day, they're going to be like, does anybody know what happened to them? I don't know, but you know, they were lying to me about that down on the planet.
Yeah. What do you think? You're going to get a commendation, Geordi? I don't think so.
Wow.
For a promotion.
Yeah. And so that is egregious.
Yes, it is.
It's horrible. And then the other part, I don't know how that cleared writing. I mean, I guess this is second season, right? So they're shoving everything out.
Yeah.
Because you know, they're like taking old
original
scripts.
Series.
I think they're taking the original series, the ones that was set for the 1970s series, and just throwing anything they could out there because of the writer's strike.
Right.
So I guess that's why this got through. But then, so now we've set in canon that Geordi can always sense lies with humans.
Yes.
Okay, I have an issue with this.
All I do too.
Wait, no, not that. The things he lists out as things he watches for, he can't see. He can't see any of that. We have seen what Geordi sees. It looks like an infrared. So maybe he'll see some fluctuation in the heat, but he doesn't see like their eyes. He sees everything as a weird energy pattern.
That's just how you are perceiving it.
Yeah, I've got to go with Mike
there
on
was,
that one.
No, we actually remember there was a time where they plugged his visor into the main screen and he walked around and they were looking through his eyes.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's plugged in directly into his brain. I don't think that's the same as them hooking into the computer and showing what his visor is seeing.
I'll tell you why there's a reason for that, or why I think that this is okay, because one of the things is that our brain is fantastic out at and is optimized for is filtering out all the crap that we don't need to do. That's why we could all these optical illusions screw with our brain, because they're built to take advantage of those things that our brain isn't. But, you know, we're built to see faces. That's why we'll see faces in toast and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, we're just kind of optimized for this sort of thing. And I think, you know, Geordi's brain is optimized to see out of that massive data, because, you know, our brain's not big enough to deal with the data that just our normal vision sees. Mm-hmm. It has to hone it down. That's why you have an area of focus, and everything else is out of focus, you know, in your peripheral vision.
Right.
Although it doesn't really seem like it is, because your brain assembles it that way.
Yes.
It's actually pretty fascinating. They're really getting pretty good at figuring out how the brain assembles a picture. And I say they're getting pretty good. The scientists will say, God, we're still like a zillion years off. But
right.
They've learned a lot.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you saw the thing where they hooked up something and could kind of get images from people's dreams by using clips from YouTube.
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's kind of neat where they're doing something to analyze it. And so based on that sensor data, a computer goes out and tries to find similar clips from YouTube.
Wow. Huh.
So it's not exactly, but it's trying, you know, it's like, oh, wow. Yeah, exactly. Neat stuff. Huh. But of course that was 25 years in the future from when this was made. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Quarter century. A lot happens.
Yes.
But I mean, anyway, but I see what you're getting out, Ben. But even if he can, we still establish in canon that he could see lies all the time with humans. And as far as I know, this is never brought up again.
Right. Because technically it would make him almost more useful than Troy.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Then we wouldn't need Troy on the bridge.
She's like, I'm sensing deception.
Yeah.
And Jordy's like, no, he definitely lied.
Yeah.
That guy right there, he's lying.
He lied about this, and that.
Yep.
I don't know if it'll work on a monitor, but though he might have to be in person.
Yes, I'm sure he would.
So now every time I watch TNG, I'm going to have to like watch for, you know, see if somebody gets away with a lie in front of Geordi.
Yes.
Because this is the sort of thing that I don't want to see in Star Trek.
Right.
I don't want to see them come up with some
cool thing and then just not use it.
And the point what was even the point of it?
Right.
It could have just been he didn't know. He didn't have to point out that I knew that they were lying and then therefore created an egregious breach of protocol that he didn't say there's something
right.
wrong. Yes. Seriously.
Now, if he had reported it in, that would have been a valid reason for bringing it up.
Right.
I knew they were lying, so I reported it.
Right. Yep.
So just get rid of the automatic lie detection kit and the scene works fine.
Yes.
Like, all right, I didn't know where you were, you know, and I tried looking around. But it wasn't necessary that I, you know, if you're busy, I didn't want to interrupt you or something. And
that
call on
almost
your community.
Makes me wonder if there was something that they cut out where he did call it in.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because they could have, what they could have done is all he had to say was, I knew that you guys had been called in to see the overseer, and I went there, but he said he had not heard from you. So what happened? You guys left. You guys right. told me you were going there. And then they've been like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Yep. An easy way to get out of something that created something horrible.
Yes. Yep.
So, all right, let's move beyond that.
Yes.
Pulaski figures out that the cells have been, cells from both she and Riker have been stolen. Let's face it, that's one wicked tricorder. I mean, to be able to sense individual cells that have been stolen.
Well, don't you know, by this time, they've calculated the exact number of cells that are in every human body. So she knew they were short, like 25.
Well, they, except for the fact they're always regenerating. But yes, they do know the exact number of cells just from the fact that they beam them places.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And they gather all the quantum information.
That actually would have been cool if she checked the the transporter log.
Right. She could have just gone over and said, compare the transporter log from our beam up to our beam down.
Yes, you were like, your mass was 25 micrograms less.
Or you know what? Even if she just said, we have a wound in our stomach.
Yes.
They did stick a giant needle in them.
Right. Right. Yep.
Also, it makes absolutely no sense. It's the stupidest thing they could have done. Why risk angering the crew for two more people? It's not going to do anything.
Yes.
It's not going to help
two more people.
All that's going to happen is in 50 years, there's going to be only two.
Yep.
Bottles. They're like Cylons. Human form Cylons.
Right. So they beam down and take matters into their own hands. In fact, in this clip, you'll hear them open a cloning chamber and vaporize a full-size Pulaski clone.
Stop! Murderers!
Now, I actually thought this was pretty cool. I mean, except for the stupid full-size clones.
that they had already.
Yeah, that they look like body snatcher.
Yes, they did.
Bodies from the 70s. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend seeing the Invasion of the Body Snatchers. My kids saw it, and they are awestruck. I mean, it still holds up. It's really, really good.
That's actually the only movie that really scared me. Because it's one of the only movies from, at least from back then, where the monsters win.
Yes.
Right. Yep. I can't believe you just spoiled it for everybody.
I think that it wasn't there some 20-year spoiler thing that we discussed before. If the movie's over 20 years old, it's allowed.
Yeah.
But yeah, that totally freaked me out when I was a kid, that the monster, that the good guys didn't win.
Oh yeah, and it's a very compelling, very last scene.
Yes, exactly.
Ben, have you even seen it?
Yes,
it's awesome, and the dog is awesome.
Oh God, that dog! Yeah,
that freaked me out when I was a kid. The dog did. Yes. Oh man, did that freak me out? And that still looks good. I was surprised.
There is a remake, but if you're gonna watch it, I think watch the original.
Not the original, although that's good too. The black and white one.
Oh, did you show your kids the remake one?
The 1970s one.
Oh yeah, no. There was another one after that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the 2000s. Yes. I think it was.
Yeah. So yeah, watch the 70s. Not...
Actually, I was creeped out by the fact that they started with spiders. At the beginning of the movie, everything's covered in webs because the body snatchers first start snatching spiders.
Oh. Yeah, that would creep you out.
Yep.
All right. So, the other thing is, so here's what I think this is a perfect thing about abortion and controlling your own body, which I was shocked at.
Yes.
I didn't make that connection probably the first time I saw it, but this totally makes sense. It's like, you can't force me what to do with, what happens with my own bodies, with my own cells, because okay, they're clones. They are kind of adult clones, but they're definitely not finished. You know, they're kind of in an embryonic state, I guess you might say.
Yeah.
And he just whipped out a phaser, boom, and then killed, then looked at Pulaski, should I do it to yours? And he, and she nodded, boom, phased him. And there was not even a hint of talking about the ethics of that. And I think there should have been.
Well, there was, because he came in and called the murderers. That was it.
Right.
That was your hint of it.
But I think this could have been explored way more deeply and interestingly.
But that probably would have garnered even more issues for them than they wanted. They were already having problems with the stereotypes.
Yes.
They didn't need more.
But I'm just shocked to it. These two would not have been the ones to do it, though. That's why it didn't happen. Riker doesn't care, and Pulaski is a doctor.
Yep.
These were not the two people to... They were already claiming moral high ground. There would be nothing for them to discuss.
Right. I'm just shocked that they addressed this at all in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm very impressed. So that was pretty cool. And you're right. They probably didn't want to talk any more about it. We'll just set it in this science fiction realm. And this is a perfect example of that type of thing.
Yep.
And being able to set things in the science fiction realm and perhaps be able to get away with more than what you usually can.
Right.
Picard calls a meeting of the senior staff. Pulaski points out that the Mariposan colony will be dead in 2 to 3 generations, and then points out that all they need is breeding stock. With that clue, Picard decides to take out 2 birds with 1 stone by merging the colonies, but surprise, the clones object.
Look at him. How could we ever integrate that into our society?
You're no prize yourself.
Primitive, hostile, disruptive. It would require enormous efforts to even educate them.
Oh, forget it, Captain Picard. I'm not going to come in here with my hat in my hand, begging charity from this blatherskite.
Now stop. I will not allow posturing and bigotry to destroy this meeting. Commander Riker has asked that your laboratories be inspected for stolen tissue samples, and I understand his concern. We may have to transport all your equipment here to the Enterprise.
I see. When reason fails, you'll resort to blackmail.
Fine. Destroy yourselves.
It's not so bad, Captain. In 50 years, we'll have a new Class M planet, complete with cities and ready for colonization.
You see, the end is closer than you like to think.
I don't know. There are so many difficulties.
Look, man, we are decent, hard-working people. We are willing to learn.
They're so different.
It is the differences that has made us strong.
For 300 years, we have denied the carnal side of our nature. How can we learn to put that aside?
Well, you put a young couple together, and you let nature take its course.
Now, if this is going to work, you're going to have to alter your society, too. Monogamous marriage will not be possible for several generations.
I don't quite understand.
30 couples are enough to create a viable genetic base. But the broader the base, the healthier and the safer the society. So it would be best if each woman, bring Lloydie and Mariposan, had at least 3 children by 3 different men.
I think I could handle that, yes. So, it's a done deal. And here's my hand on it. Right, well, now let's go and stake out my 3 women. Send in the clones.
I must be out of my mind.
Starfleet will probably agree with you.
This really puts all of this on the Bring Lloydie women, are the ones who are going to have to breed.
Yes.
Because there's only 2 women. It doesn't matter how many individuals there are. There are only 2 women.
Right.
Who already have genetic damage on the Mariposan side of this equation. So it's all on the Bring Lloydie women to basically become baby factories.
I think it's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what Brenna says. Although they get away with it because she's happy that she gets to have 3 husbands as well.
Yeah, maybe that's why they had her going after Riker. She'd, like, go after anything.
Right.
Something. I mean, I think of one. So she was given the choice, right? They didn't talk about giving the choice to anybody else. Well, you can come with us. We'll give you take you to a starbase. And from there, you can go anywhere you want because you'll be a Federation citizen. And, you know, we'll teach you. You get everything for free.
Well, but just because they didn't say it, I don't think that didn't happen.
Okay. The other
thing
is,
anyone asked to not go, I'm sure they would have let them.
the other thing is, hey, look, now we know there's a new colony here. Now we could send people out. We could send Starfleet out, and people who want to come to this perfectly good Class M planet that has cities. Actually, not just two, multiple cities, at least three.
Yep.
So, I guess this is a good start, but I don't know. It's just for the women. I think this is awful. Now, this brings up another interesting thing in polyamory, because it doesn't say they have to be married or anything.
Right.
That I don't mind, as long as it's consulting adults again, and you know nobody's been taking it. Consenting.
Not consulting.
No, that's what I do. That's my job. As long as it's consenting adults, then I'm fine with that. As long as nobody's being taken advantage of, because so many times that type of thing can be arranged, so usually the women are taking advantage of.
They kind of actually do at the end of this when he's like, let's go stake out my three women.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yes, it was.
That was bad, but it's so weird because there's this episode. There's some really good stuff. There's some good character development. They're bringing up the abortion issue. They bring up polyamory like way before its time.
Yeah,
and they also set a precedent at the beginning of the episode that obviously there's arranged marriage because he doesn't consult Brenna when he goes to talk to Picard.
Oh, right. Yep.
Good catch.
Although it must not be set in stone since she just goes and wanders off with Riker anyway.
Yeah, well, that's not marriage. That's part of the, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's
plural,
true.
You know, whoever you want.
Yes.
The whole concept just doesn't seem like it would work because they're not going to change the Mariposans because, again, there's five of them. Doesn't matter what numbers there are. There's five.
Right.
It's basically just the Mariposans are going to die out and treat and teach the Bryn Loidi how to be Mariposans.
Well, and they'll get some of their DNA. So there will be a next generation of Mariposans.
Right. Well, and see, this is where my suggestion from earlier that if they had asked the crew of the ship if anyone was willing to donate, then the Mariposan side could have been increased with clones of other people, and then they could have started from that a large Mariposan pool and a large Bryn Loidi pool.
Yes.
And it would have been more equal.
Because the problem is, again, so their whole thing is that the women are going to have at least three children from three men. On the Mariposan side, they're all going to be brothers and sisters. Because, again, there's just five.
Right. Yep.
So then you're bringing in the fact that you have this huge amount of inbreeding going on because they're all related. There's five.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
In case we haven't brought it up, there are five Mariposans.
Because if there's
but there's thousands of those five.
Yes.
Right. If there's 300 of one type of one of the five Mariposans has kids, there's 300 brothers and sisters.
And it's funny, right. So maybe they should have said, well, the 110 Bryn Loidi men, I'm just dividing that 220 in half, well, right. They should have 50 wives apiece because there's cities full of these people.
Right. Yeah.
At that point, he might have blanched.
Yeah. Because it seems to me they're going to have to coordinate that where they're going to have to pick, okay, these are the five, one of each with the least genetic damage for the Mariposans. Okay, you are with the Bryn Loidi.
Right. Yep.
Get busy.
Well, the
rest of you
is,
continue with the way you were.
The good thing is, I'll bet the Mariposans are really good with spreadsheets.
Yes.
But I don't see, if I were a Bryn Loidi woman, why I wouldn't choose going to Starbase 11 or wherever they were going.
I think it's relying on the fact that they're not technological and they would prefer to go back to just their home.
It's funny because this episode, there's lots of forward-thinking things, and then there's an equal number of backwards-looking things, and it's just horrible.
Yes, there are.
I think probably the Mariposans or not the Mariposans, the Brynloidi are probably intimidated about the thought of going into the Federation because they couldn't understand the ship. Now there's worlds and worlds like this.
Right.
Well, but there's lots of times where they brought somebody from a time warp or something or been isolated. They're like, we'll bring you up to speed and all that stuff. But yeah, if it's just been like a day and then they dump them here.
Right.
Like that, it seems very un-Picard like.
Which, by the way, when you mentioned being able to just send people from Starfleet to this planet, because I'm sure plenty of people are looking for a home to go to.
Right.
That makes it even more like Picard really is just using this as a way to dump these people.
Right. Exactly.
Right now, don't worry, we'll send you more people later, but right now I'm literally going to use it as blackmail to get these people off my ship.
Yeah, because he hates the Brynloidi.
Yeah,
it's probably because they're like children.
Right.
With alcohol.
Oh, so yeah, that's pretty bad too.
I guess I need to finish this off.
Yes,
the strong-willed Brynna then gets to choose whether to be dropped off at a starbase or go to the Mariposan colony and have three husbands. She chooses the latter because she might like Granger. And Prime Minister sounds important.
Yes, they turned her into a freaking money grubber at the end. Sounds like he might have two coins to rub together.
Oh, man. God, how could this episode just go so many ways?
Yep.
Well, that's the end.
Yes. Yeah, that was the end.
It's put us through the ringer here, and I wish we had Carrie.
Yep.
Because she would have had more to say about the generations and that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't really get the replicative
failing or replicative baiting.
Yeah, because that's like, oh, it's just because people know what photocopies are, and if you make a copy of a copying videotapes, it gets worse and worse. I don't think that would be the case with technology 200 years from now, but clearly they got the genetics wrong, as any Star Trek would have from this time.
Right.
Nobody would have figured out that we had this level of genetics that we're on the very cusp of.
Yes.
It's like, oh, by 20 more years, 30 more years, we'll definitely have cosmetic genetics. Right?
Yeah. Hey. Isn't there a song? Cosmetic genetic.
I don't know.
Command your soul.
But I can... I could pretty much guarantee you that, you know, probably 30, well, so let's say be generous and say 50, or not just conservative and say 50 years from now, somebody's going to be genetically modifying themselves to have cat ears.
Yes. Yes, I'm for sure.
There's no doubt in my mind that that's going to happen.
And of course, it was Pump Up the Volume that I was thinking of.
Oh.
They have genetic.
It's rhythmatic, systematic world control, magnetic, genetic, dement your soul.
Oh. Close.
Yeah, it is close.
All right. Episode name meaning.
Maybe they. I don't know. I think it's
probably. Oh.
I think it's DNA.
Yes. I think it's referring to. It's two things, and it was in the. Oh God, I can't remember. When I was looking up trivia, I found it, but then I didn't include it because then it sort of short circuits this part.
Yeah. Oh, they actually told you in the trivia on Memory Alpha?
Up the long ladder, it could be also, you know, the long ladder that the Brynloidi are going to have to go up to adjust to the level where they're going to be living with the Mariposans.
Yeah.
Then they probably should have called it Chutes and Ladders because the Mariposans has a chute right on down.
That's right.
Oh. Yeah, but that sounds naughty.
Chutes and Ladders? It's a child's game.
What the heck game are you playing?
Sorry. Situation.
It's in your fanfic.
Yep, you have to pay for that.
Yeah. That's behind the Treknologic paywall. All right, German episode naming.
I just found it.
Okay.
The episode title, Up the Long Ladder, derives from an expression, Up the Long Ladder and Down the Short Rope, a reference to the gallows in an Irish rhyme popularized in the Tommy Mackem song, Are You Ready for a War?
I don't see how that applies.
Don't either, but that's what it's from.
So basically somebody said, oh, this is Irish.
Yeah.
further the freaking stereotype of this episode.
And when he says send in the clones, that was supposed to be the titular line of the show. It originally was called Send in the Clones.
Oh my god. Wow. That would almost, I could see that as a German episode name.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and another one that could just be Welcome to the Stereotype Hour.
Well, I think it's funny how they stereotype the clones as evil, and they were.
Deep.
But, you know, I haven't seen Dolly and her brethren take over, like, the sheepyard. So they're not evil. Although Dolly died. Poor Dolly.
Yeah.
Okay, so Carrie picked this episode.
Oh, no wonder she's not here.
Yeah. All right, Mike, it's up to you to lead off then.
Oh, I mean, this thing was literally all over the place.
This is a tough episode, man.
I'm going to have to, just because of the insane amount of horribleness, stereotypes and pigeonholing and everything else that they did, I'm going to have to give this a 4, tolerable. I mean, there was some stuff that was good, but it does not outweigh the other stuff.
All right, Ben?
Meh. 3? No.
Oh, no, that's a 4. Yep.
It was... I just didn't like it.
The problem is,
I mean, there was cool individual things, but as an episode, no.
Right.
Yeah, it's really tough. I liked the tea ceremony. I liked Pulaski, which was great. I loved liking Pulaski.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I do have to acknowledge that I got to give it to Pulaski when she made the statement, well, hey, in 50 years, we'll have a free planet.
Yes.
That was pretty slick.
To me, she was great in this episode.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought that she was very good. She contributed. Acting was well done. We got character development of her, Worf, Picard.
Yep.
That's probably the only character development we had.
Yes.
We only saw Data, interestingly, in the beginning.
Right.
When he was rambling on, that was pretty irritating. That seemed like first season stuff.
Yes, it was kind of first season stuff.
You know what? Now that you say that, you know what I feel like? I feel like this was supposed to be a first season episode that ended up getting bumped to second season, because the whole situation with Riker would make more sense if this was a first season episode where they're trying to build up his reputation. The thing that Data does is something that he loses by the end of the first season. All of this feels like this should have been an early first season episode.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is probably a reject script that they had to pull out because of the writer's strike.
Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, and that probably, you know, I don't know if it was, maybe she's, what's her name? I can't remember.
Snodgrass.
Yeah, Snodgrass. Maybe, you know, she didn't get much time to work on it. They just pulled it out and let's whip it out. And, you know, maybe it wasn't completely done or something. It's kind of half-baked almost, you know.
Right.
Although it does seem like somebody thought of Send in the Clones and let's build a whole episode around that.
Yes.
So somebody thought they were being clever there. Either that or it's like an add-in, because I think Snodgrass, she did the other second season episode with Data about proving whether or not he's conscious
measurable
or not.
Man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like she's incompetent.
Right.
Why couldn't I get that for a trivia question?
Yeah, really, you got an episode name. And yeah, I think, how do I rate this though? I mean, then they brought up important social issues. They brought up abortion, polyamory, and then there's just all the egregious stuff. This kills it. I feel, I guess because it had the good stuff, I've got to acknowledge the good stuff somehow, but this hurts me. I'm going to have to give it a 5.
Yeah. It hurts me to give it a 5.
Because I think, Ben, you're right. As an episode, I'd probably give it a 3, but I got to put something in there for... There's a lot of good stuff in there, too.
Just Worf and Pulaski make it good.
Worf and Pulaski and the social issues.
Which also almost kills me to say, but...
But both of them were great throughout, and Picard had a good moment.
Yes.
But other than that, Picard's acting dumb.
Yes.
You know, this whole solve the problem, and it's not like they were 10 years away from the Federation.
Right.
You know, okay, yes, they are away from it, but generally, you know, they've been able to go back to Earth without too much trouble.
Yes.
You know, so what, they were 6 weeks away from the Federation. Let's say 2 months away, maybe. Give me a break.
Yeah.
This was not a problem. All right, well, that gives us an average of meh. Or tolerable for this episode.
Yes.
And we've lost Carrie, so we have no trivia this episode.
Yes.
All right, I'd like to give out a shout out to Christian1313 for technologicanalyzer.justplainapps.com. And I apologize for what I said last time. I don't know why, but somehow I thought the last few episodes were left off, and I thought maybe you dropped it or something, but that was not true. It's totally there. Sorry about that. Me being dumb like Picard was dumb in this episode. It happens to all captains eventually.
Yes.
All right, and thank you for listening. Oh, and you know what? We love feedback. In fact, we read, listen to, and discuss our feedback in the Listening Post podcast, which was released last week. You can give us feedback by giving us a nice iTunes review, by emailing us at feedback@technologic.com. You can tweet us at Technologic, find us on Facebook, and we have a Technologic forum at technologic.com. So join our discussions and let us know what you think. Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What are we reviewing next time?
Well, hold on. Let me see if I can decipher this from Carrie's notes. something. Holy crap, Voyager. Apparently, we're going to be reviewing the final Q episode that we haven't reviewed yet in Voyager. That would be Q2.
Ooh. Teenage-erific.
Yes.
Until then, on behalf of everyone here at Technologic, love long and prosper.
I'm thinking.
I read it, but I'm not sure I understand it.
Yes.
That's usual with Carrie.
Exactly. Well, these are all words.
Yeah, I can read all of them and understand the words, but not all of them all together.
That's right.
Oh, God, are we starting it over?
Okay, now shut up for a second.
Shut up!